Hello there, and welcome along to the radio diary of an All-Ireland football final. It's Kerry versus Mayo on a Sunday in late July. A little cooler than the weather has been in recent weeks. The sky is more grey than blue this morning. These are the few moments of calm we're going to get. It's just after 10 a.m, but very soon we'll be consumed within a coliseum of pressure and noise and colour and heat alongside 82,000 others. Before we get to Croke Park and a full day of covering this All-Ireland final for Off the Ball, there's a quick stop off in studio in Marconi House for a chat with the great Pat Kenny on News Talk.
Well, now it's time to talk about the All-Ireland Senior Football Final happening today in Croke Park. I'm joined by John Duggan, presenter of Off the Ball Sunday, and Tommy Rooney, who's Off the Ball's GAA expert, and he will be at Croker. Morning, Tommy.
Morning, Pat. Hi, John.
Morning John. Pat and Tommy.
I bet you're looking forward to this one.
Oh, Pat, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be fun because Kerry and Mayo are two of the most fervently supported counties in the country. Like, there's something about football in Kerry and Mayo. And we know Kerry are the kingdom, obviously. They're going for their 40th. But this yearning that the people of Mayo have for number four.
Now, I was on the streets of Dublin yesterday with some of the pals, and I met many Kerry people, and none of them, strangely, would begrudge Mayo a win, which is, I found, quite extraordinary.
But do you know why? Because they're so cocksure themselves that they're going to win, Pat. That's why. And to be fair, you can't really blame them. And just to be very clear now to anyone listening on the road up, obviously that is not something that I think will permeate the squad or the management team or anything like that. Mm. There's a difference between the players and the supporters.
Yeah, and I met a racing man who was down in Killarney, and he said, you know, whatever the speculation is about Kerry being complacent, that's not how it really is in Kerry.
Not in the team. No. Yeah. No. Now, the one thing I'd say is, I was reading the Saturday Independent yesterday and the predictions of their sports writers are all very sharp and with it, and it's 13 points, 9 points, 8 points, 10 points, 11 points, and then two journalists had it at 4 and 5. So at least they have it a little close. But like, of their panel of 8, they're landslide Kerry victories. When Andy Moran, the Mayo manager, in the press conference after the semi-final, took exception to a question from John Fogarty about whether the Mayo fans will enjoy it, the hype and the build-up, or have they been burned by previous defeats? I won't say the exact word Andy said, but he took exception to the question and he said, why shouldn't they enjoy it? And he said, is anybody in this room going to write that Mayo were going to win the All-Ireland? And Colm Keyes piped up and said no. And he was right. Nobody is going to say that Mayo are going to win the All-Ireland. No one sane is going to say it. Because by every metric, they won't and they can't. But games are not decided on metrics.
And John, that question of the two-pointers now, the change in the rules, it means if you're behind by 6 points with a couple of minutes to go.
Well, look at Down Wicklow in that Tarleton Cup final that Tommy did. Yeah. In the old rules, Down would have been out of sight, but Wicklow came back in the second half. Just looking at the carry forwards, though, you know, David Clifford, Dublin did quite well them in the semi-final, but then Paddy Clifford had a really good game. Sean O'Shea is back. Dylan Ganey's had an amazing season. They got the middle third as well. So I just, the problem for Mayo might have is that they might be just putting out too many fires. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
That is the common consensus. But the way I look at it, and I've covered Kerry,
I'm looking
closely.
At, on my left-hand side, we have a fantasist and a dreamer, yes, in Tommy, and we have a realist, a pragmatist in John.
I think you've nailed it, Pat, and I can't help myself. I get caught up.
The dreamer.
I get caught up in...
Well, Tommy plays club football and has been at the games all season, so he'll be seeing things that we wouldn't see, and that's the beauty of it.
The only thing I'd say about Kerry is some of them have been injured for a long time this year, and they're only back, and Jack O'Connor made this point the last day, that we don't know how long some of them went without kicking a ball. Now, Paddy Clifford, as John said, got back to his best the last day, and if one or two get back to their best today, there's no stopping Kerry. But I am a bit of a dreamer, Pat.
All right.
From the studio on Diggs Lane, over to Liffey, to Drumcondra and Dublin Tree, it's a quick spin. We land around 11:30, and with a clatter of bags and radio equipment in hand, it doesn't take long to bump into someone I wanted to chat to. That's Shane Moran, the man behind the brilliant RF podcast in Mayo. He's lingering on Jones's Road between the Croke Park Hotel and Croke Park itself. 11:38, and we're in Drumcondra. We're just outside Croke Park, and I bumped into the ref. The only ref that matters today, the only ref that should be noticed, is not Martin McNally. Yeah. It's the RF podcast host, Ref.
Tommy, how was things?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm nervous. I was sound all week. I was sound all week until we got up to Dublin now, and you land around the pitch and you kind of realise, Jesus, we're here again. Like, it was a great couple of weeks. Enjoyable couple of weeks, the build up and everything else. And everyone was kind of, you know, enjoying themselves and letting themselves loose a bit. And it's no harm, you know, it's no harm for people to enjoy it. I was thinking about that walking up here. Just about, there's a lot of counties that don't get to experience this. I know we get a bit of grief, whatever, that we go over the top, but like, what's the point of following sports and being a supporter if you can't enjoy yourself and enjoy big days? What's it all about for supporters? Obviously not for
there's enough to worry about. There's enough to get upset about.
Yeah, in life, exactly. And this is a great distraction. Like, this completely wrote off when they bet Cork and we got loud. I thought to myself, this is completely wrote off the month of July now. So it's kind of like everything you were planning on doing, it's gone to August.
And whether it's September or August or October or July, it's still a great couple of weekends, isn't it, when you're involved?
Yeah, and I, you know, I'd rather push out a little bit more because we're actually out in club championship now next weekend.
Well,
next
so
Friday.
Am I, and I'm in trouble for it. Well, come here. They're fierce confident, aren't they?
Kerry. Yeah, you can't blame them. You can't blame them. It's Kerry in an All-Ireland final against a Mayo team that had, like, if you look at the draw in the half that we came out of and the half they came out of, Jesus, you couldn't be more confident. Like, it's killing them. They don't know that, like, being overwhelmed in favourites is actually unnerving them a little bit because they're not used to being such favourites.
You think the supporters?
Yeah, they are. They just can't cope with the favourite tag. You know, the old Yerism, I think it's ran out now. Everyone knows the gig.
Well, I was ordering a pint the other night and a Kerry man came up to me and said he has them -7. And by the time the pint landed in front of me, he had them -8. And by the time I paid for the pint, it was -9. But when I was walking out the door, he roared at me -6.
Yeah. See, they let the mask slip a little bit last week or two, but I don't know.
Give me, if you're going to make a case for your boys, yourselves, what's McGeerty saying? What's Stag saying? I was listening to the pod during the week. There's a yin and yang on the pod. You're very good in the middle of the two of them.
Yeah, I try and keep a little bit of a balance between the two of them. Enda doesn't think they've any hope at all. Stag does. In fairness to Stag, he's a good diehard fan. Myself personally, you know, anything can happen. We love sport for that reason, and you have to give it a chance. I think the only way about this, and I've said it in the pod, if you get to 50 minutes through 3 points in the game, just get to that point, because there's no point unleashing complete chaos and blowing it up at half time. You want to be timing it. You're only going to get, it's like a good racehorse. You've got to time this now. We've got to time it. Get to 50. Bring in the Conroys. Bring in Durkin. Bring in Ruan. Bring in Keane McHale. Just take a gamble. Go for it. And should you know, like, how many games have you watched in sports and every kind of sport and every kind of competition where there's been upsets? It's bound to happen at some stage, and that's all you can offer.
I remember listening to you a couple of weeks back talking about your experience in 2012, and I think you were up as a young fella that day, and you really enjoyed it. It was Cairns, it was the hill, the madness. Are you a little bit more tentative today? Are you having a pint or two? Are you meeting friends? Or are you on work duty?
I'm bit of both now. We're actually down to 2FM now at 12 o'clock or quarter past 12, but I had a few last night. Came up, I wasn't planning on coming up, and I was just sitting around the house yesterday and I just couldn't wait in the house, and
the buzz.
Exactly, we booked a spot there, and we were up in Mulligan's last night, and we met a good few Mayoheads and a few people around, and this morning had a good chat. I was in the kilt this morning, had a pint, one point, just to set myself, and
I wouldn't have thought it.
I'm back. I'm broke out for the weekend that's in it. No, trying to keep it good, but
the numbers around us here are building up. There's Kerry, there's Mayo fans, there's Colour. There's no great giddiness yet, but the giddiness kicks in on this street in about an hour, I'd say.
Yeah. When once the shutters start opening, buses start landing, and you just get that buzz, and it's that hour beforehand where it's just people can't control themselves, and it culminating in the parade. The parade is it. Then it's boom time.
It's magic. Yeah. I'll be actually live on air during this. My favourite time of the year is either the All Ireland hurling final parade of Tommy Welsh or doing it with James and Paddy. It's going to be brilliant. I'm going to be listening to you during the week, whether you win or you lose.
Yeah. Well, if we win, the podcast might be delayed a couple of days.
Well, I'll be on with you. I'll be down with you. I'll be staying there for the week.
Good.
Come here. You go find McGeerty and Stag, and we'll catch up to you soon.
No. Right. Thanks, Tommy. Talk to you.
Good luck.
I'll talk to you. Yeah.
Best of luck.
It's All-Ireland Football Final Day 2026. I'm John Duggan. This is Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're very welcome to the show. It is Kerry versus Mayo in the decider with the Sam Maguire Cup up for grabs. How are we going to cover this now over the next 6 hours on your radio before we go off air at 7? after the news round. It's a Sunday paper review with Kildare's former skipper and manager Glenn Ryan and the Irish Daily Mail sports editor Orla McElroy to look at the best sports writing on this day of national celebration. It's off then to Croke Park for the build-up with Kerry's former Footballer of the Year James O'Donoghue and the ex-All-Ireland winner with Dublin Paddy Andrews. Tommy Rooney, our Gaelic Games correspondent, is there for the whole day. He'll continue the build-up with Paddy and James. And when the game begins, we got updates from the stadium and then from another All-Ireland winner with Armagh. Rory Grugan here for studio analysis.
Kerry and Mayo meet in Croke Park today for the 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship title. Throw-in is at 3:30pm. It's a lot cooler in Dublin 3 today than it has been in recent weeks across July. And the wind feels more significant also. We'll see what impact it has in the game itself, but as we know, it's been far trickier shooting into the hill in recent weeks. Kerry, the reigning All-Ireland champions, come into this game as strong favourites. They're looking to go back-to-back for the first time since 2007, and it would also be the first time Jack O'Connor has managed to do so across his illustrious career as manager. Mayo, of course, come into this final as complete underdogs, looking to win a first All-Ireland title in 75 years, having lost 11 deciders since 1989. 2017 Footballer of the Year Andy Moran is in his first year as manager of his home county and has guided a young side through a rollercoaster season. There is a change each to both panels, both injury enforced. Kerry's Dermot O'Connor is out, Killian Trant is in, and for Mayo, Stephen Cohen is replaced by John McMonagall. They are panel changes. We'll have to wait until a little closer to throw-in to find out who starts. Mayo's full forward line have shot the lights out in recent weeks. Dara Byrne, Cobby MacDonald are both still teenagers, but Ryan O'Donoghue is the fulcrum, and he's been their player of the year so far. But they are up against the standard bearers of attacking football in the country, as their defence has to take care of Sean O'Shea, Dylan Ganey, and Paddy and David Clifford. Mayo defeated Kerry in round one of the 2023 All-Ireland series, ending their incredible unbeaten record in Killarney that summer. But when these sides have crossed paths in All-Ireland finals, Kerry tend to take care of business. 2004 and 2006 left a scar. It's a new day today, though, and a new era of Gaelic football. Will Kerry secure number 40, or Mayo a first in 75 long years? It's Kerry against Mayo in the 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final. Throw-in is at 3:30pm in Croke Park.
All right, I'm at the back of the press box on level 7. It's around 1 o'clock, so there's a load of tests taking place around the place. We'll fill you in on them at the minute. There you can hear the PA system. We're going to have to let that roll. I think somebody there is imagining what if Mayo had won the All-Ireland a little later. I'm looking down to the right here and I see a man in a steward's jacket kicking a ball at the goals. I thought he was practicing his shooting, but one of the top snappers in the country, Pearce O'Meehook, is here beside me from Sportsfile. Pearce, he's actually doing a Hawkeye test.
Yeah, that's how they do it. Yeah, you have to test everything, I suppose.
Pretty low tech.
That was wide, I think, yeah.
But is he pointedly putting it wide? Are we doing him a disservice here? He put it over the net at the back of the post.
We won't say how close in he was, yeah.
Yeah, must be a bit of a wind, obviously, in Croke Park today. Delighted to bring in Pearce O'Meehook here. He has his eyes on All-Ireland finals for years. He's one of the best sports photographers that I've ever come across. You'll see his photos all the time, but maybe with the nature of the game, people may not know the man behind the camera. You've been at plenty of All-Ireland finals over the years.
Yeah, I have. I've photographed everyone since 2007, and then I've been at each of them since 1996.
You weren't working back in 96?
I wasn't. No, I was 6. Yeah, at the time. But no, like, Dad worked in here for years. He did event control and safety officer for 30 odd years. So I was kind of in here as a fan in different guises and stuff. So yeah, it's both football final day and hurling final day are a big part of my year. Yeah,
that's amazing to have that link back to 96. Have a think about it and I'll ask you later, but I will ask you about a favourite moment, maybe in a work capacity, but also maybe as a kid, something that maybe hooked you in on what this is. So you're a young man in 07 then when you actually start working at it. What got you into sports photography?
Just playing sports and just being interested in sports, and both my grandfathers were interested in media and newspapers and that kind of stuff, and one of my grandfathers worked for the Irish Press, so there was kind of always newspapers around and pictures around, and then you kind of, when you're around kind of, you know, in school, you're trying to figure out what to do as a job. So I naively thought that would be a good idea. So went into that, and then just, yeah, that's been my only job.
Yeah. It's worked out for you.
Yeah. It's very enjoyable. It's something very kind of very different, in that you're like, you're pitch side a lot of the time. So you're there's the end line and there's you. So you're right next to the action. You see a lot of people always ask, you know, do you actually get to see the game or enjoy the game? Well, you get to see the game very differently, and you get to see maybe things a lot more up close in your half of the field than other people would, and through lenses and stuff. So yeah, it's very enjoyable.
I'm sure you have a rhythm to your day as well. So you've been in since early morning. Have you things pre-planned or are things off the cuff?
Both. I know Croke Park very well, and kind of I have an idea of what will happen or what seems a bit different today or that kind of thing. But like I would have sat down a few weeks ago with kind of ideas for preview pictures, say, and I would have kind of shared them out between last week and this week, and what's kind of more relevant or less relevant. I would have been kind of around in and around Croke Park around 8 a.m. last week, a little bit later this week. But I kind of have, I've places kind of scouted out in advance over years, and then you know you just see something unusual happening and you kind of and react to it then.
I can't wait to go through the archives later. It's always such a different perspective, and in the media we get to do that. We get to maybe scroll through the work you're doing in Sportsfile and pick out little moments. Anything you've captured so far today, or anything you're looking forward to capturing later that you want to focus in on, that's something that you think might happen or you know might happen and you want to get? Or can you predict it?
You can, to a certain degree, and like just kind of an obvious thing of the more important things generally happen around the goal, so you're kind of paying more attention there. And you know, there's been other All-Ireland finals before where you know you're keeping an eye on something in a full back line or a full forward and a full back having great fun, and just kind of something might happen off that, whereas other people aren't watching that. So
O'Shea and Donaghy back in 17, did you know Aidan O'Shea was going back to Mark Donaghy? Were you there that day?
I was there that day.
And did you get the snap?
I was there that day, and I remember sitting down in the corner, and it was all in the media during the week, and then I seen him running in. I was like, oh, we're on, it's happening. Okay, all right. So yeah, I think it's been great fun between Donaghy and Stephen Cluxton throughout the years, and that kind of stuff, and Johnny Cooper and David Clifford and all that kind of stuff. So you keep an eye on a lot of stuff, but then again the match just happens then and you have to react then.
Yeah. Can you, if we were to look around the stadium here, and there's obviously stewards in the corner, and I'm sure you have a few things in your head that you maybe have to check off the list. What is the camera that you've got? I know you've got two different ones here right in front of us. Are you able to fill us in on a little bit of the kind of granular detail of what you're trying to do? And if you were to try and snap something here, what would we get?
Yep, so like up here in level 7 where you're working, it's a lovely view, a lovely kind of overall view of the pitch, and you can, you know, it's different on All-Ireland final day that the pitch is marked up, you know, with PEL 2026 on it. So we'd have a photographer up here during the game, but most of us are downstairs, so you kind of, we'd be up here more in the morning, kind of shooting kind of general views of stuff, just kind of how the pitch looks and kind of how the pitch markings are. And all the fresh paint and all that kind of stuff for this time of the day.
And is there a different camera here for the actual live match itself? Because obviously you're trying to capture something totally different when there's a match going at the speed that it does.
Yeah. So there's an array of lenses, and then also, like with the Sportsfile team, I think there's the six of us or so there today, so that's all well planned out in advance of who's doing what and who's doing what where, even to the degree of what lenses they're using, and some are a bit tighter and some are a bit looser and that kind of stuff. So yeah, the lens I'll be using pitch side is an awful lot bigger than the one I have right here, but yeah, it's, you know, you can have 10 lenses in your bag, but it's kind of what suits for the right moment.
Have you a favourite All-Ireland final memory, a favourite All-Ireland final snap? I'm sure you've been asked it before.
I did enjoy a lot of the Dublin Mayo stuff, and like I think there was one year in particular, maybe it was 2016 or something like that, there was kind of a feeling in the stadium that Mayo were going to do it, and there was a lot of stewards and all that coming out of us. So
there was a moodiness to the air too, wasn't there? I can picture those nights.
Yeah.
Late and September, October as well.
And there was some kind of I think it was a half time or something. Everyone was like, "Oh, we're on!" It's kind of that kind of a feeling. But yeah, even back, you know, going back, just, you know, the unusual of the Cork Kerry finals, there was two of them, and then you know, the Cork beaten down that time as well. So it is nice to have a kind of a traditional final of a Dublin Kerry, or a, you know, when Mayo were there a lot. But like, yeah, they all kind of have a different mood to them.
Do you feel under pressure on a day like today? You've done so many and you're so good at your job.
No, because I know I'm prepared. Like I've done a lot of preparation over the years, and there's things you can just go, okay, I know what that's like from a few years ago. But then a lot of prep would have been done last night, in the you know, from last Sunday. I would have been preparing for different things because I had a busy week. I was doing the homecoming in Limerick and doing different bits and pieces.
Of course.
But no, like you know your job, and you know you're tuned in, and you kind of repetition of, you know, you've done it before, and hopefully the goal is scored on your end and they run to you and that kind of thing. So
anyone listening back, you're much like myself. You have a plan in place in case Kerry win number 40, and you have a break glass case in case of emergency if Mayo do the unthinkable.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone that you ever meet, I think thinks Kerry are going to win by a good bit. But like, if Mayo win, it'd be phenomenal. Now, the Armagh, when Armagh won, it was loud here. Yeah. Like, and like when Armagh won the semi final, it was really loud as well that year. But it'll be insanity in Bedlam if Mayo do win it. Yeah.
Piers O'Meara, lovely to chat to you, and thanks for chatting to us on Off the Ball. And as I said, keep an eye out in the papers. There are some incredible photographers working at the games today, and Piers is the top of the game. We'll keep an eye out for the Sportsfile archives later on. Thanks for your time, and best of luck today.
Sure. Thanks very much, Tommy.
But let's go back to Croke Park now, and the former All-Ireland winners Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue are alongside our Get a Games correspondent Tommy Rooney. Tommy, what's happening right now?
Very welcome over the road to Croke Park. It's 3:05. It is All-Ireland Football Final Day, the 2026 decider. I'm delighted to be joined live on News Talk right now by my football pod co-host, Paddy Andrews, who's won a couple of All-Irelands with Dublin. Hi, Paddy.
Good afternoon, friends.
And former Kerry footballer in 2014, footballer of the year, James O'Donoghue, who has an All-Ireland medal himself. Hi, James.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for the intro, baby.
We're back in Croke Park. We were here Thursday night with Kieran McGeaney and David Brady stormed the stage from Mayo. We had a very good night. There is a big crowd here already. Over. Not quite 82,000 yet, but it's filling up. Paddy Andrews, you've been pitch side. What's it like down there?
Oh, a little bit of rain, a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of wind. There's always around Hill 16. But temperature-wise, beautiful day for a game of football, lads. And look, lads, it's just exciting. We're literally at the tunnel watching both sets of players come out. The energy, the intensity these two teams are having. It's the biggest day in our sport. What an occasion. I don't miss playing, but Jesus Christ, I'd love to be out there today.
Oh, wouldn't you just? James, you drove up from Killarney this morning. You had Christina and her sister with you in the car. They were getting ready to rock, weren't they?
They were landing into the city, and there's a lovely buzz in the city. I must say, though, it's mostly Mayo. It is mostly Mayo around. I don't know how the ticket situation worked. I think a lot of the counties that had a surplus might have given their extras to Mayo, but there's a lot of green right around. And you know what, they haven't travelled with this huge optimism or kind of expectation. They're just coming up, they're seeing how it goes, but I think that's when they could be very dangerous. And you never know how these white jerseys gel today. If they get enough 2-point chances, they get enough goal chances, they could do the business. But they are massive underdogs, let's make no mistake about that.
Look, Croke Park is a pretty big stadium. I went up to level 7 and I was nearly blown off it when I went up the top earlier on with the wind. How significant is it at pitch level? You noticed it earlier. I was watching, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's a fella who goes around testing the Hawkeye about 2 hours before the game. He has to pointedly kick wides in Croke Park. He's probably the only man who's paid to kick wides in Croke Park. And you can see a bit of a wind having an impact then. Are you seeing much of it today?
No, look, shooting at the Hill 16 is always the most difficult end. A lot of the talk and the build-up over the last 2 weeks, this game's at Mayo, need a fast start. We've seen Dublin trying to do this in the semi-final against Kerry. The scoring goal will be the canal end, and there's Andy Moran send his captain up and say, if we win this toss, let's get shooting in there and try and get Ryan O'Donoghue, Kobe and Dara Byrne on things early. Mayo do need a fast start. It was 20 years ago they were in the All-Ireland final against these opponents and the game was over after 10 minutes. You don't want to see that today as a neutral. There's a danger of it. But look, I think the biggest thing for Andy Moran, his coaches and all these Mayo supporters and the buzz around, Jimmy said it, it is incredible. They just want this young team to perform. And to be fair, they're timing it just right. They've been bumpy at stages through the Connacht Championship, obviously blown away at home by the Rossies, bumpy through the early stage of the All-Ireland Series. But once they got to Croke Park, and Andy Moran said it, this is a Croke Park team. I've got players who will suit that pitch. And they've shown it against Cork, and they blew loud away the last day. This is their biggest challenge by a country mile. Let's see how they perform. I'm hoping they get their best shot today. Might not be enough, but that they do themselves justice.
This time, it's 3:08. In about a minute's time, Martin McNally is going to call the two captains in for the coin toss. One of us might keep an eye on that and try and see which way they're shooting. But James, we're looking at the Mayo boys beneath us here, shooting into the Davin end. The Kerry lads warming up and kicking into the Hill 16. What do you think they're like at the minute? Do you think there's any such thing as nerves in an intercounty footballer at this moment?
There is very much so. I always thought as a corner forward, though, just try and get a couple of shots at the post. Try and get your confidence up that way. Make sure that your rhythm is right, that your eye is in. Catch a lot of balls. You know, to have someone kind of kick a ball as hard as they can at you a couple of times, do a couple of fast hand passes, and look, you're in it then. As soon as that ball is thrown in, any nerve you had is probably gone, but it's just a matter of making sure you're in the best possible situation. The one thing I'm looking at here with Kerry, notoriously over the couple of years that we've had these new rules, a bench has a huge impact. Kerry have eaten into their bench bench a lot recently. I don't see the kick there that maybe was there before, that maybe Dublin had down through the years, that Mayo would have had before, and that Kerry would have had before. They don't have the kind of experience or the legs off the bench. I think what Kerry are going to do is go hard early, try and make as big a dent on that scoreboard as they can in the first half, and maybe in the first 15 of the second half, and have Mayo chase them.
We're just watching Martin McNally say hello to Jack Coyne, the Mayo captain from Ballyhaunis, and Paul Ganey of Dingle, the two captains, the Kerry captain. The coin's been tossed. Which way? Who's pointing which way, boys? They're going for the photo now. Did Kerry win that toss?
Hold on here. No, he's only doing it now.
McNally from Condorfamonaghan, his 32nd championship game, his first as a referee. He's flipped the coin. And all three of us cannot make out who's won the toss there. So you might have to keep an eye out. So coin is going in now to tell Andy Moore, and I'm sure he'll point what way they're going. But it does have an impact on a day like today. And the stadium now, again, there's more people filling in and coming in. There's been people coming in since the gate were opened at 1 o'clock. They're about to learn what the actual teams are for today. Where teams were named during the week, but there's been two injury enforced changes. Mayo have actually made two switches. So Gerry Grogan, the great Gerry Grogan, a Kerry native who's been living in Dublin for a long time, the stadium announcer in Croke Park, is going to be in the background here naming out the teams. But for Kerry, Jermyn O'Connor drops out and Tom O'Sullivan comes in to start. The club footballer of the year from Dingle, who's had injury troubles all year long. He's going to start wing back, presumably, and Graham O'Sullivan is going to move back to 12, where he featured last year. And on the Mayo side, Stephen Cohen drops out of the panel. John McManigal comes into the panel, a young fullback, and in come to the starting place comes Dermot O'Connor, starting at wing forward. So one Dermot O'Connor is out for Kerry, another is back in for Mayo, a two-time young footballer of the year back in the day. And also Paul Towie coming in for Conor Loftus at 11. And Towie has started the last two games at 11 and been whipped at half-time, James. So the setup of the Mayo attack is interesting today.
It is. Cohen to be a very different player. You know, he's going to be kind of a solidifying presence, physical presence, experienced head. Towie, the opposite, you know, kind of elusive, fast, wants to create. But I think that's a good front foot change for Mayo. I think that'll be fine. On the other side, I think it's a huge, huge switch up for Kerry to miss that fourth big man on the side. That number 12, that kind of left midfielder in these kind of rules. Shane Murphy liked to kick it out there. They have now lost that threat. Mayo, Andy will have a chat with the Mayo lads. They'll be able to cheat off Graham O'Sullivan. He's not going to want the ball in the air, and it allowed him to create more tension in the air for the other three. So that's a big, big advantage for Mayo.
What do you reckon about those changes?
Yeah, it is a significant change, because Dermot O'Connor gave Kerry that just total dominance across the middle third, alongside Joe O'Connor, Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien. So it is a loss, but they brought in one of the best players in the game. A very different profile player to Dermot O'Connor. But we were talking during the week, are we going to see Tom O'Sullivan in this championship? He's absolute Rolls Royce. One of the best players in the country. So to have him come in, you feel like that's a boost for Kerry, but it does change the dynamic. And we're looking down at the Mayo team here, and the last 5 minutes they're just working on kickouts and breaking ball. We know how important that is in every single game. And is there that little chink now without Dermot O'Connor? But does Tom O'Sullivan go back on Kobe? Does Tom O'Sullivan go back on Dara Byrne and all of a sudden ask questions going the other way up the pitch as well? I'm delighted I'm seeing him, because he's one of the best players in the game. It's a big change, and for Dermot O'Connor on the Mayo side, you know, Andy has done so well in terms of changing the profile of this team. We haven't seen Aidan O'Shea. We haven't seen Dermot's brother, Killian, who came back into the squad this year at all. But he's gone with one of the older guys, a trusted lieutenant. Does he have one more Rolls Royce performance in him today to try and get over the line? Let's see.
The cheers you're hearing right now, have a listen. Just to let you know, the Kerry team had been named, and there wasn't a murmur or a cheer as we were listening to it. But the noise from the Mayo support, James, and maybe that's because, James, there's so much expectation, and rightfully so, that this is going to be a God-given right for Kerry to win number 40 today. It feels a little dangerous when we're standing here on level 7 and looking at those beautiful, pristine white jerseys that Mayo were wearing, that they wore back in 1951. There is such a free shot for the Mayo footballers today. And it's not a free shot because it's a final.
It's not a free shot.
It's not. But the weight of expectation is not on them. It's all on Kerry.
Well, I was saying to John Duggan earlier, I have never seen such one-sided build-up to a final. I mean, I've fallen into the trap myself of thinking, you know, Kerry will win this. this is almost a case of by how much. That's, it's so weakening of your mindset when you think like that. You need that fear of losing to really get to the pitch of it. I agree. Mayo are coming at this from a great place. The only thing is, you say they were cheering their players there. I can remember every single game I played against Mayo, and they would absolutely scream the house down for every one of their players. They are phenomenal supporters. They have been back here so many times disappointed, and still they come and support their team like no one else. So I agree, I think they're coming at it from a great place. They need all pressure off. That would have been Andy's job over the week. Take pressure off Byrne, take pressure off Kobe, take pressure off Ryan O'Donoghue. Say, lads, go out here and put the chest out, because today is the day for ye. And he has to make them believe that against the experience of Kerry.
So this is just about, okay, we're here. This is, and we're on the pitch now. You can nearly relax in a way that the build-up and all that type of stuff. Those lads down there, those 50-odd players down on the pitch, they don't know anything better in their lives than Gaelic football. They're all experts at it. It's about going out there. They've been dreaming about this since they were 4 or 5 years of age, playing a couple of months ago. You see some of their families down there earlier. It's a special day, but when you're out there with your brothers on the biggest day in our sport, you can be yourself. Go and enjoy it and embrace it. Saw doctors are coming on. Lads, this is emotional already. What about the Jubilee team earlier? Did we see that? 2001. Oh, man.
What a group of footballers.
Unbelievable. Obviously, Galway, 25 years since their famous victory over Meade in that final. They blew Meade away, but the news earlier this summer with Paul Clancy. John O'Mahony was obviously the iconic manager, passed away a couple of years ago. But Paul Clancy's young fella came out, and that was a roar in the stadium. Where they seen his family, incredible stuff. The Galway players were in tears. That little young fella is a legend. His dad was a legend. And it just puts a little bit of perspective on things like today. You try and embrace and enjoy this thing. This is why we all love it. And that was a poignant start to the day. And when the Saw Doctors come on, everyone starts crying, lads. Jesus.
Very well said, Paddy. The late John O'Mahony and the late Paul Clancy were both remembered as the Galway 98 Jubilee team were remembered. And right now, as you can hear the roars, the Kerry footballers and the Mayo footballers are walking towards us right now. If you're in a car or you have a headpiece in and you're listening in, look down the hill, and Catherine Connolly is about to stroll out with Uachtaráin and come on Luke Classgale, Jarlath Burns, and they're going to go around and shake the hands of the players from both sides. The Airtain band are ready. They're prepped. They're going to bring us around the stadium, and that's when you hear the crescendo of noise build up. James O'Donoghue, we mentioned number 40. We mentioned back-to-back. Great teams need to go back to back to secure themselves as great teams. We know Jack O'Connor's illustrious record. He needs to win one more to join Jim Gavin on 6 All-Ireland titles. All Mayo wants is to win just one stuff.
Yeah, it's mad the difference, but I mean, I think you're right. I think down in Kerry, you need to go back to back. We believe this is a great team. Looking at the bench, I don't know, do we have that punch off the bench, but this 15 looks like a great 15. So they want to deliver the 40th, they want to go back to back, and they want to really hammer home how good a side they are. On the other side, Mayo just need the one. There's no baggage in their head of today. Obviously they have to forget about every other final. This is a new team, this is new challenges, and the white jerseys, it almost feels like a clean bill of health, a clean program. You know, forget everything that's happened over the last 20 years. Let's just go at it now.
Years.
Well, definitely the last 20 as well. But just forget about that and give it one good rattle. But they need to get up to 25, 26 points, and that is going to include a lot of two-pointers and a lot of goals.
All right, the presidential handshake is about to take place. You're guilty, you said, of maybe getting overconfident, given the standards of the Kerry team. I've been guilty of trying to make a case for Mayo all week because I want this to be a final, a competitive one. I think it might be. But let's not underestimate how good this Kerry team are. Ever since they tried to stop Dublin's 5 in a row, which you were a part of, they've learned a lot of lessons on big days, and they have delivered on big days too.
They have, and I think that does help, the fact that they've been here before, delivered. They can look to their left and see a fellow who delivered. They can look to their right and see someone else who dragged them over the line. There's a lot of big personalities in that dressing room. But again, I don't want to go there. This Kerry team have their own thing going on. You know, mentally they need to get that back to back. I'm more interested, honestly, in Mayo to see how they come out of the traps here. They need to make this absolute carnage for 10 minutes at the start of the game. It needs to be physical. It needs to be on the line. There needs to be so many physical hits. Make the Kerry fellas uncomfortable. And when they go down the other end, they need to be clinical. Kerry are going to have more possession, a lot more possession. They're way more experienced. Paddy would want to hold this ball for the whole game. So when Mayo do have it, they need to make sure that they actually punish.
This scene in front of us is epic.
I just said to Jimmy there, I'm neutral all week, didn't care who wins this thing as a dub. But listening to the Saw Doctors there and seeing the Mayo fans and Andy Moore marching off like the Terminator, I'm in Mayo's camp today. I hope they get it done.
And he's nailed his colours to the mast, like 31 other counties, James.
But you know who feels fantastic down there? Ryan O'Donoghue. I can tell, he just feels like he is the man at the moment. That's his team. He is the main man. He has Kobe, he has Byrne alongside him. He hasn't had that quality with him ever before in his Mayo career. He has two fellas with him now who he believes can help him. But I can just see him. He looks ready. He's obviously, in the last couple of games, been a huge leader. I can't wait to see that matchup. Personally, I'm hoping it's Jason Foley because I think he's our best marker. But if they do go Foley on Kobe, it could be someone else. It could be
nah.
Foley on Kobe.
Nah. No,
I think there could be Foley on Kobe.
I think that's crazy. Ryan O'Donoghue is the man, as Jimmy's just said for the last 60 seconds. Jason Foley has developed into one of the best man markers in the game. He always takes the key thread of the opponents. We know Kobe's magic. He's got stardust that very few other players have. But if you stop Ryan O'Donoghue today, you stop Mayo's charge. We're just looking at shots of Kieran McDonald. Jesus, lads, he looks like he'd still play himself. Like.
He looks sharp, doesn't he?
He looks class. He's lost the blonde locks, but he still looks magic. Now I think Foley's going to be on Ryan O'Donoghue, and it's a key battle.
Those white jerseys, lads, are going to be the most sought-after jerseys in world sports if Mayo end 75 years of pain today.
They are nice, to be fair. They are nice, but they'll want to be blood, sweat and tears on those jerseys come 70 minutes if they're going to get over the line here. Another fellow I'm looking forward to seeing is Dylan Ganey, Tom, because I believe that Andy's going to mark Paddy, he's going to mark David. He'll have an eye on Sean Eden third. Dylan didn't have a good semi-final, and I think that's a great thing going into a final. Yeah. I'm not happy with how I played in that semi. I want to turn up in this final now. The pressure is on me to deliver. My kicking record was phenomenal all year. I'm going to get back to that level in a final, and what a challenge it is.
We couldn't be closer to the Artane band and the two teams standing directly in front of us underneath the Hogan stand right now. Kerry, led by David Clifford. Mayo, led by Jack Coyne. Shane Murphy, Paul Murphy, Jason Foley, Dylan Casey, Graham O'Sullivan, Mike Breen, Gavin White, Mark O'Shea, Sean O'Brien, Joe O'Connor, Sean O'Shea, Tom O'Sullivan, Paddy Clifford, and that man Dylan Ganey at the very end for the Kerry group. And for the Mayo side, Coyne, Jack Livingston, Donica McHugh, Owen McGrail, Sam Callanan, David McBride, Enid Hessian, Bob Toohey, Jack Kearney, Jordan Flynn, Dara Byrne, Ryan O'Donoghue, Paul Towie, and Mayo's Dermot O'Connor as they come around by the Cusack stand. James, I have to say, this is my favourite few minutes of the year because anything can happen.
There's something special about the parade. I remember before my first final in 14, that was the one thing that was on my mind all the time. I said, I cannot wait for that parade. Being at the back of the parade as well, there's something special about it. You're at the back, you can see all your teammates. It's like they're leading you into the game. It's a powerful emotional experience. And these fellas, everything is going through their head now. First ball, best case scenario, what I'm going to do with it, just getting the lungs moving again, getting them filled and getting ready for the game. It's your last bit of quiet time in your head before everything just goes black.
Less than 4 minutes to throw in, Paddy, as the teams arc around behind the band towards the Cusack stand sideline, and they're coming up along us here, right across the way. Did you break a smile in a parade, or were you focused laser sharp?
No, I would have tried to embrace it and enjoy it. I've goosebumps now looking at it, lads. This never gets old. It's a special day. You look, the place is absolutely packed. It's on wheels. The Kerry crowd have entered. I can confirm that. There's some green and gold around the stadium now. But as a player, look, you work your whole life for this. Player, people all over the country, all over the world will give their right arm to be in the position those guys are in right now. Enjoy it. Embrace it. It's special. It is special. But Jimmy's right. It's the last bit of maybe tranquility before that ball. Mark McNally throws that ball in, and it's 70 minutes of hell. You don't enjoy All-Ireland finals. You survived them. And if you get over the line, it's relief more than anything. They go down to Hill 16. The flares are up. It's like I'm in the Sam Zero, lads. This is class.
The Sam Zero, you put it well. I'm not sure the Sam Zero will quite have the green and the gold and the green and the red that we have now. As the players cut from the Cusick Stand sideline right across the iconic Hill 16, they're coming straight back at us. Oh, James, like this is where potential is here. We're looking down beneath us, and Jack O'Connor is standing right beside Keane O'Neill. Andy Moran's beneath us. Andy Moran, in one of his parades, looked up to the stand to where he knew his father would be sitting. That's what he did when he was looking around. Right now, he's looking at his boys on that pitch, the 15 men that he selected to start for him. Well, what do you think is going through the manager's heads at the moment?
I think Andy will be calm. I honestly think he will. I think the last 2 weeks since they won that semi-final, it's been a case of keep everything calm, keep everyone nice and relaxed, play down Mayo's chances. Mayo have no hope. He even asked it in the press conference, who thinks Mayo can win? Nobody did. So I think that has been Andy's mantra over the last couple of weeks. Keep everything calm, and then maybe today, just in that meeting, before they got onto the bus, maybe just ramped up the emotional level then. Told the boys how proud he is of them, how much a big day, how much he expects them to deliver, how confident he is that they will deliver. Make them feel 10 foot tall going into this game. Forget about Kerry. Kerry have been here, done that a couple of times. They have their own challenges. Mayo need to just worry about themselves, go out here and perform and do themselves justice.
At 3:28 p.m. right on cue, the Artane band lead the players right back to where they started, as the Mayo boys line up on the 45 right in front of us here, and the Kerry lads move towards the Hill 45. We get ready for a Ron Naveen right on cue at 29 minutes past 3. See, if you couldn't hear it there, Gerry Grogan is letting us all remember the late Monaghan footballer Stephen Godigley, who very sadly passed away this week. All our thoughts are with the people of Carrickmacross and Monaghan and his family. The country. We hope you enjoy the 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship Final. James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews will be covering the game with live updates throughout here on News Talk. Rory Grugan's in studio with John Duggan. It's the Kingdom chasing their 40th All-Ireland title. It's Mayo, their first in 75 years. Joe O'Connor is on one sideline, Bob Toohey the other, Mark O'Shea and Jack Kearney in the middle of the field as Martin McNally gets the game underway.
Brilliant stuff, Tommy, James, Paddy. What a build-up. Kerry versus Mayo underway here on Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk, the All-Ireland Football Final. Rory Grugan, good afternoon.
Hi, John. How's things?
How's the form? You remember all this?
Good. I do, yeah. I'm looking on enviously.
2 years ago it was you.
Yeah, the energy and stuff. I just saw the Mayo boys break away, I think, and probably like us first-time finalists for a lot of those boys. And you just want to play. You just want to get out there. You can see them bursting out of the parade and just ready to go. A lot of camera time for Kobe already, so we'll see how he settles into it.
And he enjoyed the camera time.
He did, yeah. I think he spotted himself on the screen a couple of times and a bit of a smile.
Bit of pushing and shoving already. Bit of a stare down as well from the handshakes from Graham O'Sullivan. So, look, everybody wants to say that they're stalled, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose that's a big win already for the Kerry defenders. A lot of talk about the Mayo full forward line coming in, and to knock someone out over the sideline is kind of the typical way you can set your stall out. So first big win for Kerry, maybe.
I can't get over these all-white, it's like Kildare are playing, all-white kits for Mayo.
Yeah, it's a bit different, but it's quite cool, I think. It looks quite slick. Fair bit of talk about it when it first happened, the announcement about the toss, and then Mayo eventually going white. So I suppose as players, like, you just have to put that at the back of your mind, maybe that some of the boys change their boot choice over the head of it.
You found it interesting that Mayo won the toss and went against it, as in they're kicking into the hill at this first half.
Yeah, and maybe I picked that up wrong initially, because in my mind, to play with the wind in Croke Park is the way that Kerry are playing into the Davin end. So yeah, maybe there was a bit of confusion there. So Kerry actually had the easier shots in terms of 2 point efforts and stuff here at the start of the game.
Yeah.
To get the first score.
They do. They get the first score, Kerry. That is one of their defenders, Dylan Casey, with the first score of the game.
The nature of it is there's so many focus on the big forwards that Kerry have. A player like Dylan Casey sneaks in behind, finds himself in a pocket, and he gets an easy score. Like, all these players at intercounty level are able to kick a score, and certainly are from 20 metres. So that's a good start for Kerry.
Dylan Gainey just trying to shake off that knock he's got. Kerry 3 points, Mayo one, after 10 minutes of the All-Ireland Senior Football Final here on Off the Ball, a Sunday News Talk. We have Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney at Croke Park this afternoon. Rory Grugan, All-Ireland winner, with our Maz in studio. Going to take a break here and going to be back after this short message with latest from the football final. Stay with us. But let's get a fresh update from Croke Park. James O'Donoghue is watching alongside Tommy Rooney. Kerry against Mayo, the All-Ireland Football Final. Tommy.
John, welcome over to Croke Park. 13 minutes and 40 on the clock. Kerry on the attack as Sean O'Shea pulls the trigger. He curls it and he puts it over the bar. That's Kerry's first score in 8 minutes. It is Kerry 4 points, Mayo just the one, as Jack Livingston goes to take the kick out. There's a lot to bring you up to speed on so far. James O'Donoghue is beside me. Dylan Casey got the score underway after 90 seconds. Then David Clifford got 2 points back to back. We didn't see from Kerry since then. They went 3-0 up, James. But Mayo came into it at David McBreen point. They attempted 4 2-pointers and they all dropped short and one went wide.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, Tom. We said the importance of 2-pointers in this game. If Mayo can punish Kerry when they actually do have possession of the ball, because Kerry are dominating possession, they need to be clinical in front of goals. They turned Kerry over a couple of times, had 2 point chances, and it's like they saw the 2 point line and just rushed the shot rather than just be clinical.
Sean O'Shea gets the ball over top. David Clifford, he's a chance for a goal. Here goes around Jack Livingston, and David Clifford equals Mikey Sheehy's championship record for goals for Kerry in the 2026 All-Ireland Final. It was a little backdoor cut, a Shawnee O'Shea fist pass over the top from the Hogan Sands sideline into the Davin end. Clifford rounded Livingston and puts the ball to the back of the net. There's not even 15 minutes gone and it's Kerry 1-4, Mayo a point. John, you timed that update well.
We did, we certainly did, Tommy there, and James, thank you. Rory Grugan, our Maz All-Ireland winner in studio. Kerry 1-4, Mayo 1 point. David Clifford's got 1-2 now.
Yeah, like, if you could write the script of the start that Mayo didn't want and maybe the neutral didn't want, this was it. Like, Clifford to have scored the majority, an early goal again, Mayo conceded in an All-Ireland final, 4 2-point attempts that they haven't nailed. And looking nervy. This is very ominous. Mayo have to try and ride this period of momentum, but it isn't looking good.
Yeah. The goal itself, what did you make of it?
Brilliant move by Clifford. We talked earlier about his athleticism and how that has developed, that you think he's just coming out in the loop all the time. He ran the corner around O'Shea, used his strength to hold off the marker, and that composure that he shows in front of goal to step the keeper and finish. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been a free yet.
We talked about how McNally was going to ref the game and he is letting it go.
Martin McNally, yeah, from Monaghan.
Yeah.
Even another attempt here at a point for Kerry and it is over. Sean O'Shea, 1-5 to 1 point for Kerry.
Yeah, O'Shea and Clifford, you know, have 2 points and 1-2 together, so it's ominous again for Mayo. They're going to have to try and get a handle on them. As it's been said many times in the lead-up, there's a lot of things you have to deal with in the Kerry offence, and two of their biggest stars are coming to the fore.
This is the issue now. You're halfway through the first half. If you're a Mayo, if you're Andy Moran, if you're Paddy Talley, like, how can you even get a message across the players? Did you just rely on them to manage it as best they can in game and just get some kind of confidence back in the scoreboard?
Your first protocol is win your kick out, which they've done. All right, so now it's, what do you do? What have you gone to when you're under pressure? What set piece have you worked on at this point? You see all the teams that put the hand in the air and stuff, that you're going to get a guaranteed high percentage shot. Not like the twos they've been forcing. Can they get the right men on the ball and work something smart? Because you'd have to be very disappointed with their actual decision making so far in front of goal.
Yeah.
You know, so at this point, it's absolutely crucial that they work a high percentage score.
Yeah, just kick a point. As they
or kick a two.
Yeah, they have kicked a two. And that's Jack Kearney for Mayo. That's a boost for them.
Yeah, I heard someone calling that on a podcast during the week, the Paul Flynn sweet spot. right side.
Four-time All-Star.
Yeah, right side, right foot is the only shot probably into the hill when there is that swirling wind. And Jack Kearney's high turnover. The ref's given the free. That shot is maybe the only one that's gone, like I said. And Jack Kearney has a great two-point record. So a good settler for them.
This is Off the Ball Sunday News Talk. John Duggan with you through to seven. Let's go back to Croke Park, where James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney are watching Kerry versus Mayo in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final approaching half-time. Tommy?
John, welcome back to Croke Park. There's been a lengthy stoppage here as another Kerry player is down after a robust tackle from a Mayo defender. It's the second time it's happened. Dylan Casey's now gone off. You got a bit of a box in the chin, maybe, as Jack Coyne was going for the ball. We'll have to wait and see later on. I don't think it was that tough. James Dunne wasn't happy. But the scoreline is the big story here. Sean O'Shea stands over at 2.3. When you left us, it was Kerry 1-5, Mayo just a point. Well, now it's Kerry 1-6, Mayo 7 points. Just bear with me as Sean O'Shea takes a 7 or 8 customary steps back. He's a good 48, 49 metres out. I'd say maybe, no, sorry, he's about 44. He's outside the arc. O'Shea from the Cusack Sands sideline into the Davin end. He stands up, he curls it, it's out of the hands, and it's a wide ball. Sean O'Shea had kicked 3 points today. James, what has the last 15 minutes been like?
It's been a funny one. I mean, Kerry looked to be in control. They were 7 or 8 points up after the goal, and they seem to just have lost all intensity. And in fairness to Mayo, led by their full forward line in terms of tackling, have just gone after Kerry's full back line, tried to turn him over a couple of times. Ryan O'Donoghue, when he gets the Kerry full back line into a tackle, he is not letting him go. And he got Dylan Casey turned over for a point, and they nearly caught Paul Murphy a couple of other times. But Mayo have come into it. They're setting great intensity up front in terms of tackling. They just need to be more clinical.
28 minutes and 90 seconds on the clock. Kobe MacDonald slips in. Sam Callanan goes for a point, and he puts it over the bar. It's a one-score game. Kobe MacDonald with a brilliant run off the shoulder and a little hand pass over the top. And it's Mayo 8 points. Kerry 1-6. We have a game on our hands, John Duggan.
We certainly do. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, James. Kerry 1-6, Mayo 8 points into the 30th minute. Feels Rory Grugan watching in the studio here that Mayo have a bit of Big Mo.
Yeah, they've really turned it around. Like an unbelievable period of momentum. You could hear James mention there about the set by the tempo of the full forward line's tackling. Unbelievable couple of high presses. Real leadership in Ryan O'Donoghue, you know, who had probably taken a couple of poor shots at the start. A massive two. He's kicked a free and he's tackling like a demon. So they've worked themselves into the game. And I did mention it earlier, there's elements of Kerry's performance that will worry them. Like uncharacteristic, David and Shawnee missing 2-point frees.
Because it is half-time. Kerry lead by a point in the football final. 1-8. To Mayo's 10 points. Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue, two-thirds of the football pod, are at Croke Park. Paddy Andrews, we have got a game in our hands.
We do, JD. It was looking ominous, like everyone expected beforehand. Kerry went out to an 8-point lead in that first quarter. But this Mayo team, the one thing you were guaranteed they were going to do was work their backsides off. And led by Ryan O'Donoghue, the press, the energy, the turnovers of the Kerry full back line, it was a sight to behold. And they have just fought their way back into this game. They're a point down at half time. Joe O'Connor with the last score of the game. But Ryan O'Donoghue with a couple of 2-pointers. Darragh Byrne on the freeze. And a big point from Tommy Conroy. In off the bench after just 24 minutes. That Mayo fighting hard, the buzz in this stadium when Mayo got on a run, it was electric. They got it back level, but Kerry composed. Sean O'Brien wins the last kick out of the half in the middle of a melee. It would have been catastrophic if they'd have lost that. Mayo bearing down on goal. Sean O'Brien wins it, flicks it out, patient Kerry attack, and Joe O'Connor gets on the end of it. It's that type of story, JD. The calmness, the precision, experience of Kerry versus just that fire and brimstone of this Mayo team. They're dragging it into a fight, and when there's chaos in it, they have a massive chance.
James O'Donoghue, are you worried?
I am. I mean, look, we knew it was going to be frantic, but I mean, I must agree with what Paddy said there. The frantic nature of Mayo's tackling, led by Ryan O'Donoghue up front. Kerry are trying to bring the ball out of defence, but But usually what they're used to is teams just sitting back, their men behind the ball. But Mayo are attacking him from behind, and they've turned over Paul Murphy, Dylan Casey and Tom Sullivan a couple of times. It's just great to see, and the energy that's giving the rest of the team. Can you imagine Ryan O'Donoghue being your star player leading that attack with tackling? It just breeds so much energy to the team. Kerry haven't got to that pitch. As I said, the full back line are kind of dilly-daddling on the ball. Dylan Gainey went over in the first minute with an ankle injury. Then Dylan Casey got a bang in the face off Jack Coyne. He's gone off. And now Clifford took a little one off Ryan O'Donoghue. So Kerry are kind of on the receiving end of this physical side. They need to get to the pitch of it. I think that Jack is going to say to them, lads, this is an absolute war now. You've got 35 minutes to win your medal. You cannot let Mayo keep bringing this fight and not matching them.
Hey lads, it's Rory Grigan here. James, I'd be curious what you think of Kerry's kind of uncharacteristic errors. Even though Mayo started nervy and were forcing a couple of twos, like Potty kicks a ball over the sideline from a free kick, sloppy hands, the two boys missed two-point frees. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it is surprising, but even Tommy Rooney said it here. It looks like Kerry are a little bit uncooked. No, that's not a kind of word that you'd like to use, but they just seem a little bit off it. When you see those passes, like an outside of the boot going out over the sideline by Paddy, silly things like that happening is never a good sign. But they're a point up here after playing, you'd have to say, relatively poorly. Mayo have brought everything to fight back. Kerry need to go in, settle it down, and Jack has to tell them that this is going to be a war. I know they're making mistakes. They're going to keep making mistakes, and Mayo are probably going to make even more mistakes than them. But if they can just nip them a small bit, but bring the intensity back. I mean, the difference in tackling between Kerry's forwards and Mayo forwards is just stark. And I think even the fact that Kerry aren't used to that, bringing the ball out of the defence, is making a big difference.
Listen to this, folks, and Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. 1-12 for Mayo, 1-9 for Kerry. A goal for Dara Byrne, Rory Grugan. Mayo have a 3-point lead.
Unbelievable finish, but I'm going to go right back to Ryan O'Donoghue coming along the Hogan stand. Like, he took two men on the brilliant sidestep. Questionable steps maybe before the first one, but unbelievable leadership to send. I think it was Jack Kearney through, who had a brilliant kind of punched pass into Byrne's path, and his composure around goal finishes have been mentioned a lot already this summer, and like to finish like that as a young man in the Ireland final was unbelievable. So it's all to play for now. Since that, Kerry have got up the pitch a couple of times and they're looking to their leaders now, but Sean O'Shea kicks a wide. They've managed to work a good score though for Keith Evans, but
yes,
I think for Kerry to stay in this game, they have to force Mayo's kickouts long because they're winning a lot of the battles.
Listen
in the
to
long
what you're
kickouts.
Saying here. Listen to what you're saying. The 42nd minute, Kerry to stay in this game. What are you talking? Like, this is,
yeah, but to stay in it to win it, I think, more than stay in it. I don't think I'm going that far.
Mayo are ahead. Tommy Rooney, tell us what's happening on the ground.
John, welcome back to Croke Park. It's Mayo now 114, Kerry 110. Kobe McDonald had just sold a dummy and cut in, but his shot went wide as Kerry tried to build out from the back. The Mayo forward press is still brilliant. James O'Donoghue, has a lot has changed since half time. Thomas Sullivan was taken off and Keith Evans came in. He got Kerry's first point of the half. But before that, Darren Byrne buried a goal. Kobe McDonald had clipped the 45 and Byrne had a point as well. So now David Clifford has it on the end line. What's David Clifford going to do? He's coming back in. It's now to Paddy. Paddy's coming around the small D. Paddy Clifford pulls the trigger. Paddy Clifford puts it over the bar. It's a 3-point game. Kerry 111, Mayo 114. Paddy with the last two scores.
Yeah, Paddy keeping Kerry in it at the moment. They're flat, Kerry, and Mayo are the opposite. Mayo are absolutely hopping and jumping out of their skin. First of all, back to the goal, Tommy, for Dara Byrne. Ryan O'Donoghue took the ball on halfway, danced around three or four Kerry fellas, and it ended up in Byrne's hands, who just opened up his body lovely and side-footed into top corner for the best moment of his life. I can guarantee you that was the best moment of his life so far. Kerry need to seriously get a hold of this game, because if Mayo keep playing the way they are, Kerry are going to be in deep trouble. They're going to leave it too late. Mayo's two-pointers are making a big difference.
Paddy Andrews, we were saying if it was any other team, we'd be saying slow the game down, you're on top, but this is Mayo.
No, Mayo, just keep doing everything at 8,000 miles an hour. Don't try and control the game. Don't try and take this thing out of it. Their route to victory is, can they keep this up for another 21 minutes? They have Kerry in all sorts of trouble. We know Kerry's quality, but they do look flat. As Jimmy said, you're wondering where the spark is going to come from. Can Mayo for the next 20 minutes go at 100 miles an hour? If they can, they'll win this final.
Jack Kearney has sliced a two-pointer. Now Ryan O'Donoghue lines one up. This would be big if he gets it. The crowd tells us he hasn't. Mayo's shooting actually in the second half has let
let them down a little bit so far, as now Kerry make a sub, as young Tomás Kennedy comes in for Dylan Gainey. Dylan Gainey hasn't looked right since he went down injured early in the first half, and now Tomás comes in. 51 minutes on the clock, John. It's Mayo leading the 2026 All-Ireland Final by 114 to Kerry's 111.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, James. And thank you, Paddy. Is this famine going to end after 75 years, 1951, when Mayo played in white? They won the All-Ireland title for the third time. Can they win for a fourth time?
55 minutes on the clock in Croke Park. It's Kerry 113, Mayo 115. But I think we've just seen one of the greatest saves, James, in an All-Ireland final. Shane Murphy could be concussed here. He stopped Kobe McDonald's goal by an effort with his head.
An absolutely unbelievable save. Again, Ryan Ronan, who turns over Paul Murphy.
He dummies it.
Kobe dummies his man. Left leg, fine. Full pace off the temple of Shane Murphy and over the bar. A brave, brave save to keep carrying this All-Ireland, because if that hit the back of the net by Kobe, of all people, this place would have gone absolutely berserk and Kerry would have been in a world of pain. As is, there's only 2 points between the teams now.
Paddy, what's going to happen?
I don't know. We were talking about it there. If it was any other, if it was a normal team, you'd say try and take the sting out of it, try and control it. They're 2 points up in the final quarter. But Mayo's route to victory, go at 100 miles an hour. That is the only way this team play. And teams struggle to deal with it. And Kerry have struggled all day to deal with it. That goal chance came from another turnover. Paul Murphy, that Kerry full back line, are dreading getting the ball. They're being converged. And it's like the hurling last week with Limerick. The intensity this Mayo team are bringing is incredible. The question mark, can they keep it up for the next 15, 16 minutes? This game was there for them. They had four misses in a row before that. Three wides and a drop short from Kobe. It's on a knife edge. What a final we have here.
I'm surprised Martin McNally didn't make Jay Murphy go off for a concussion test there.
Yeah, actually in the warm-up, I think it was for the semi-final, he got a ball straight into the face as well, and it was serious damage done.
Game is about to restart. We'll talk to you at full time.
Mayo were 5 clear. Now, this is after Kerry were 7 clear in the first half and it had ebbed and flowed massively. But at the moment, it's Mayo 1 point in front. Mayo 115, Kerry 114, 57 minutes and 11 seconds here in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final. Watching with Rory Grugan, Armagh's All-Ireland winner here on Off the Ball Sunday on News Talking. Be over to our team at Croke Park very shortly. That is a Mayo score. That is a Mayo score. And that is Jordan Flynn.
Yeah, I've been saying, I was just about to say it, like in this position in the control attack, Mayo haven't made a good decision this half. You know, their scores have come off high presses and turnovers where they're able to go quick. So I was just thinking to myself, who's going to make a good decision here? Jordan Flynn is a great cut off the sideline, gets himself a high percentage shot and nails it. That's exactly what you're looking for from an experienced player.
Conor Loftus on for Mayo, Dermot O'Connor off, Matty Rowan is on. We also, who else is on? Paddy Durkin for Mayo. So the benches are being used now significantly.
And again, serious experience of All-Ireland finals as well. So maybe that was all part of Andy's master plan to leave the boys coming on at the end who, you know, have been there and done it. And yes, they haven't got over the line, but knowing how to get on the ball and you know, maybe take the sting out of it a wee bit to be smart going down the stretch. It's all hindsight analysis, but it's working quite well at the minute.
Have the ball again, Mayo. This is the thing. They have the ball, 12 minutes left, and they're 2 points clear.
Again, it's Ryan O'Donoghue handling it. We saw so much in the semi-final. Even when the game was gone, he was still the one sort of conducting the orchestra and making things happen. Loftus is coming on, you know, and using that experience as well. He'll be hoping to get on the scoreboard too.
One more chance here for Mayo. Kobe's got it. Kobe's kicked it. And Kobe's put it over. Got to take a break here for news on Off the Ball Sunday. Mayo can feel it. 117 to Kerry's 114. This is Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 7. Rory Grugan, Armagh's All-Ireland winner, with me in studio. We are watching history potentially in the making here, because at the moment it is Mayo 1 goal and 19 points. Kerry 1 goal and 14 points in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final. We're 63 minutes into the game. Rory Grugan, it looks like Mayo, as you had that situation with Armagh a couple of years ago, could be on the verge of winning the All-Ireland here now.
Yeah, maybe sometimes it's just your moment. Like Ryan O'Donoghue kicks an unbelievable two. Talk about leadership, and he has a free kick that you'd expect him to score that drops short. But rather than just dropping the heads, Mayo stay high in the press. And again, a kick out over the sideline that you'd just be so disappointed with the carry, and you could see the way the crowd reacted. Sometimes it just feels like it's your moment, like without getting too carried away. There's 7 minutes left, still 5 points in it. It's not over, but it's looking like they're in an unbelievable position.
So Ryan O'Donoghue with a two-pointer there. They've got 4 today, Mayo, and they've just hit the post. Mayo just hit the post. That definitely would have been it. this is just breathtaking.
Yeah, so I couldn't have myself putting my hands to my face. O'Donoghue put an outside of the boot, like long, don't know whether it was a pass or a shot, but it, you know, it managed to, I'm not sure who got the hand on it into the crossbar. It was a bit reminiscent of Aaron McKay's punched effort for our final, but like again, Kerry kicked the ball away. They're trying to find Clifford. They've given it away again.
Yes.
Like it's been so...
The unforced errors today have been...
Unbelievable.
Very uncharacteristic of Kerry.
So unlike Kerry.
And no two-pointers as well.
Yeah.
Kerry led by seven, folks. They led by seven. 1-5 to a point at one stage. They led at half-time by a point. They were 5 points down in the second half after a Dara Byrne goal. They reduced that to a point, but Mayo once again edging ahead in the second half.
Yeah, and probably a point of note, Kerry have been a low block team this year in terms of their defensive play. So it'll be interesting to see now how they can hunt the ball. They've done quite well in a high press themselves, where Mayo are used to doing it. Whereas this is a new thing for Kerry. Have they worked this scenario in training? 6 minutes left, you're five down. What are you doing? How do you get out? How do you press
good
the ball?
Point, yeah.
Like so.
So you do emergency contingencies, do you?
You have to, because no one wants to be in this position, but you could find yourself there. It's the All-Ireland final, you're five down.
Jordan Flynn, that would have finished it onto the post. The top of the crossbar.
God, if they don't go on to win, they might look back at that moment as unbelievable.
Even
bad
worse
luck.
Than 96 for them.
Yeah. Serious bad luck from Flynn. But like I was saying, Kerry have the ball. Can they work one of those pre-trained kind of set-piece scores that we've talked about to the right man? And then can they get a bit of momentum off the kick-out?
Yeah. Because it looks like they're not going in for a goal here.
Mayo are staying high, not wanting to give away twos, which are tough into this goal, as we've talked about all day. Clifford's coming out looking at on the two, but he's not getting the ball yet.
Yeah,
here he is.
Has it now, David Clifford. It's a big kick, a long kick for David Clifford. Has he got it? He has. That's reduced the gap to three. Mayo 119, Kerry 116. David Clifford two pointer. Their first of the day.
That's an outrageous score at this stage of the All Ireland. With 5 minutes left, the players, the defender standing on your good foot to go out into the hill, notoriously difficult, off his right for the first of the day for his team. Unbelievable from Clifford. And again, there's 5 minutes and there's three in it. This is not over.
Not over. But this moment here is absolutely crucial. Winning this kick out. And
Kerry have it.
Kerry have it. Kerry have it with Joe O'Connor. Okay, let's go to Croke Park, where Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney are watching the end of the All-Ireland Final. Kerry against Mayo. Tommy.
Welcome back to Croke Park. Mayo are seconds away from ending 75 years of pain. 30 seconds to go. Mayo at the ball. It's Mayo 119, Kerry 117. Nobody gave them a hope, and Kobe McDonald has it. He just had to keep it in his hands. He gives it to Tommy Conroy over the bar. Mayo by three. They've done it. The Mayo footballers have just won the 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship title. This is it! Oh, the scenes around Croke Park! This is absolutely incredible! Nobody gave them a hope! Just listen to the noise! Oh! The greatest sports story any of us are ever going to cover. The Mayo footballers have banished all the demons. They've ended every curse. They put an end to all that rubbish. They have delivered on the greatest day of all. This is incredible. There are still 82,000 people here. Andy Moran is being embraced by his great friend Barry Solon on his backroom team. Colin Boyle is sprinting in to the players. I'm here with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Paddy, I'm going to come to you first. Mayo 120, Kerry 117. What have we just witnessed?
Ah, lads, Jesus Christ, this is unbelievable scenes. We didn't think it was possible. Did not think it was possible. What? Do you know what? They were brave. They went after Kerry from the first couple of minutes of this game, and it looked like it was going sideways on them. They were 8 points down, but Ryan O'Donoghue and those forwards, they tackled their life out there. Unbelievable performance. And the whole stadium was thinking, can they keep this up? We've never seen a team play at 100 miles an hour for 70 minutes, but Mayo have just done it. Unbelievable scenes.
Just have a listen to this.
It's time.
chance to come over to you yet. This is a tough one to take from a Kerry point of view, but you're a great footballing county. You have 39 All-Irelands. And today it looked like Mayo just had the legs. They had the game plan. And they put it to you. They took it to you.
Yeah, look, as the pit in my stomach, but as much as I'm absolutely devastated for Kerry and Kerry supporters and the players, you can't begrudge Mayo this. I mean, like, the outburst and the outpouring of emotion at the final whistle there was actually like nothing I've heard. It was like this emotional release almost by them. And I'm seeing Kobe there celebrating, this 18-year-old kid who has come into county football and become a star. And you know what? Fair play to him. Ryan O'Donoghue, I said against Loud, it's his team. My God, did he show it again today. The tackling, the leadership, the way he dragged. I know you're pointing at Kobe there, and Kobe's been brilliant.
And Andy Moore.
But this is Ryan O'Donoghue, the work he did. The two-pointers, the frees he won, the turnovers he did on Paul Murphy and Dylan Casey. He set the tone, and the rest of them rode in behind. From a Kerry point of view, I mean, just so disappointed that we never got going at all. Our best players just didn't play well, apart from probably Paddy and David Clifford. They took it to Mayo when we needed to in the second half, but it wasn't enough. We ran out of legs. You know, the bench didn't have any punch. And I must say, I don't want to talk about Kerry too much, because this is Mayo's day. Is that Henley?
That's Rob Henley with his little daughter and his wife Orla. The tough days that he's had in Crow Park, like many Mayo men, since 1951. They can forget about 89. They can forget about 96 and 97 and 04 and 06 and 12 and 13 and 16 and 17 and 20 and 21, because they have 2026. They have 2026. They've done it, Paddy Andrews. I have never seen anything like this.
Lads, look, I'm gutted for you, Jimmy. I'm gutted for Kerry, obviously. I know how much it means to you and those Kerry players. But I have to say, this is emotional watching this. If you love sport, and we all do, this is incredible scenes. The Mayo supporters, some of those Mayo players, when they went to battle against some of those guys. You mentioned Rob Henley down there with his daughter. I'm looking at Killian O'Connor. I'm looking at Andy Moran. Ah, lads, this is... It's heavy on Kerry, but it's incredible for that group. You never thought you'd see it, lads, and they must have thought it themselves. What a day, and so deserved, so deserved. That was a performance just full of guts. Incredible.
The big screen has just shown us Kobe MacDonald with his brother, Jordan Flynn, the two boys in tears, and now Mayo have their moment in front of the hill. The Mayo footballers have never had this. And now they do. This is just, I know, James, it's so tough when you're from Kerry, but you have to give it to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannot begrudge them one bit. They deserved it. They were the better team. They played the better football. They looked more energetic. They had more want. They had more desire. Their crowd were baying for it. And you know what? They deserved it. And there was a couple of moments that gave me, on both sides, gave me some chills. Clifford's point with the right leg at the end when Kerry were chasing the game, I thought was unbelievable leadership. But Dara Burns' goal, Ryan O'Donoghue danced around a couple of Kerry players on halfway. I mean, danced around them. Like three fellas ended up on their backside. He danced around them, and the ball ends up in Dara Burns' hands. And he sides with the ball past a brilliant goalkeeper in Shane Murphy into the top corner. For what I am going to tell you honestly now is the best moment of his life. The very best moment of that young man's life. He's hit the net against Kerry in All-Ireland final when they've got over the line for the first time in God knows how long. And Ryan O'Donoghue, the amount of turnovers he had, he slaps over a two-pointer and turned to the crowd and just gave a fist bump. And at that stage, I think we knew we were under pressure.
The Mayo captain, Jack Coyne, has gone up the steps of the Hogan stand. Did we ever think we'd say that? The Ballyhornis man is about to give his speech, and we'll let you listen in.
Yeah.
the 41 lads I've had the honour of sharing this journey with. Being a part of the group with you boys is the greatest honour of my life, and I'm so grateful to call each and one of you a brother for life. The journey, lads, where do you start? We stuck together through thick and thin, and now we're all Ireland champions.
Sand Tunnel, and I'm walking with a Mayo great here. Cora Staunton is on the Sunday game tonight. Have you gathered yourself yet?
No, Tommy, I definitely haven't. I just have no words. What an experience. What a mad, mad experience. And a brilliant performance by Mayo. I think you're going to have to watch it back to see, but they were just awesome. Bar the first 15, 17 minutes, they were just brilliant. And what can you say? Huge congrats to Andy and the whole team. Shout out to Ryan O'Donoghue, who is just absolutely phenomenal. It's the most out-of-body experience being there and seeing it actually happen after so long. So yeah, it's just brilliant. And I don't think any Mayo fan will process it in the next hour or probably in the next day or two. But looking forward to seeing what tomorrow night will be in Castlebar. I was meant to be flying to Sydney tomorrow, but that won't be happening now. So
really?
Yeah, I'm meant to be flying over for the International Rules game on Saturday, but I'll try and fly Wednesday. You couldn't miss that. We're too long waiting. So yeah, looking forward to obviously the Sunday game tonight, and then yeah, meeting up with family and friends, because it's just an amazing experience.
You were in the press box. What were you like in those last couple of minutes?
Not good. I was sitting beside Kieran Whelan to my left and Jackie to my right, and the end about 4 or 5 minutes to go, I had to get up and just stood. I cried, I screamed. I had the most out of body experience, where I felt I was the only one there and there was no noise in the stadium. It was just mad. It was very, very emotional, to be honest. You know, you've been following Mayo and you're from Mayo, and I suppose if you're not from Mayo and you don't know what it means to be from there, and to, you know, to spend years being written off and people, you know, having jokes about them, and you know, they're just not good enough. And oh, it's brilliant. Like I think of people today like Lee Keegan, you know, Keith Higgins, Andy, Colin Boyle. I could start naming them off. You know, players that have been around for so long. You know, even I know he's part of the panel, Rob Henley, Killian O'Connor, guys that, you know, were in many All-Irelands and just lost them. So, and then you look at people like Conor Loftus, who come on and had, you know, such tragedy last year. And oh, it's such a fitting into everything that's happened over the last number of years. And to finally say, you know, as I said, Mayo for Sam, it's Mayo have Sam, and it's so well deserved. And I'm just so proud of the whole group. You know, I'm obviously involved with Ballina, and to see the likes of Sam, Liam, Dylan, Frank involved with that squad. And I'm just so proud of them all. And you know, to Andy, he's just done a phenomenal job. He's the most positive guy. You know, you'd meet him regularly and he's just so positive, and he's all about Mayo. And you know, to see him there with Jennifer and the two kids on screen today, it was just amazing. So what can you say? It's going to be an unbelievable next 72 hours of Mayo.
Of course, Donaldson, yourself and a number of Mayo women have plenty of All-Ireland medals, but now there's a group of young men that have joined you with All-Ireland medals. They've ended 75 years of pain for your county. I know you're going to cancel the flights to Sydney, as you said. Enjoy Sydney when you get there, but enjoy the next few days as well.
Oh, I will. And as I said, huge congrats to them all. What a bunch of players, you know. And you look at it, maybe it might be his only one, Kobe, and he's off to the AFL, but brilliant. Thanks.
Corresponda, thank you. Good luck tonight in Sunday game.
Thank you.
I'm just inside the players' lounge here. It's not just the players' lounge, just the stewards pop in as well and people who work in and around the stadium. It's underneath the Hogan stand, and we're after witnessing one of the most remarkable things I think any of us will ever witness. Delighted to be joined by a voice many of you will know, the great Gerry Grogan, stadium announcer in Croke Park. He fills us in on everything we need to know when we're at a game. Gerry, I know you're a Kerry man. Kyra Savina, if I'm not mistaken.
Spot on, yeah.
You've been living in Dublin for a long time.
Long time. So I'm disappointed today, but I'm delighted for Mayo. I've never seen anything like the celebration out there in the stand now. Never seen anything like it, the emotion. It was almost a spiritual experience for a lot of those people. And up where the cup was presented, there was a man just across from me behind Jarlett Burns, and he was absolutely crying his eyes out, and he was looking up to the heavens and speaking to people that obviously he felt would love to have been there at that game. And so while I'm disappointed for Kerry and the 40 and all that stuff, you couldn't begrudge. I was born in 1951. That's the last time they won it. So I'm really happy for Mayo people. I am.
You've put that so well, and I hope I'm not outing you here, but as a true professional and a master of your craft, you've got a pair of socks on that are odd today. You might fill us in on what you've got.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever worn odd socks before. I get slagged about not being partial, that my voice, there's emotion in my voice when Kerry are playing. Of course, I deny that. So as a kind of a statement, today I put on a Mayo sock and a Kerry sock, so that kind of takes the heat off me.
You must love football and hurling and these games that you get to talk about. The tie that you're wearing as well is absolutely gorgeous. What is it?
Well, it's gas. It shows you how dated my wardrobe is. It says Cogall 97 down at the bottom of it, the J Congress in 97. I think it was in Belfast, and each delegate got a tie. It's a totally unique tie. It has all the J Sports on it, and I kept it. And I've never seen anyone else wear one. And everyone asks, where did you get the tie? So
it's beautiful. It genuinely is beautiful. I might try and grab a snap at you afterwards, Gerry. So just in case people don't believe us on the Mayo sock.
I know.
We were chatting briefly there. You have a lot of pressure on you. You've got to deliver. You've got to speak in front of 82,000 people. And maybe most people actually don't realise that. But that can't be easy either. And am I allowed to say you're sitting here with a beer right now?
Yeah, a 0-0.
A 0-0.
Yeah. But because I'm going to drive it later on.
But you're going to. It is a 0-0. But do you have to relax? Do you have to decompress after performing in front of 82,000 people?
A little bit, yeah. Because, like, with the hurling final last week, and I'm not getting any younger, and I have a lot of other stuff going on, so I'm tired now, but I'm not stressed in any way. I don't get nervous, I really don't. I love it, and I don't think you could do it if you were getting nervous. So it's kind of formulaic at this stage now, and I know the way things go, and I don't get too stressed out by it. So
you mentioned you haven't quite seen anything like what we saw today, but you have seen so many things. How many All Ireland finals do you think you've worked at?
I must actually, Tommy, genuinely sit down and work it out. But kind of roughly in my head, I'd say around 150. I haven't missed one hurling or a football since 1978, and like in the stadium. And of course, there would have been a load more before that. And all the replays as well, so easily 150.
That's incredible. That is just remarkable. Yeah. And for the people of Mayo, like, I was reading a piece in the Racing Post during the week, a friend of mine from England who has a Mayo mammy who worked in the Irish Times for a while, and now he's working with the Racing Post. He's the most crazy Manchester United fan you can meet, but he's also a Mayo fan. He flew over this morning, he got a ticket, he texted me at 1 o'clock that he got a ticket today for the match. But he wrote a piece during the week that he was in the long haul, a great Dublin pub, and he overheard a 73-year-old Mayo man talking about what he's witnessed over his years and all the times they've fallen short. Those people, what have they experienced? It's so hard to encapsulate what the people of Mayo have just done.
I don't know. Like, I think there was a book written about them called House of Pain, I think it was, and that sums it up. And they've really suffered. And they've suffered a lot of abuse. And one of the great things that will come out of this, if they were never to win another one for a long time, that abuse and that slagging will ease on them. They'll be able to say, well, we have it now, we did it. But it's been hard. It's really been hard. And like you, I know a lot of Mayo people. who have never given up on them, and came back again and again and again. And for them, I think it's brilliant.
They'll be back here. This is just a final one, Gerry. They'll be back here in 25 years' time, and none of them are thinking about that now. They're thinking about the next weeks and months and years ahead. But there was a very poignant celebration today, a 25-year celebration of a great Galway team, another team from Connacht, and John O'Mahony, who passed away, a Mayo man, and also Paul Clancy, his son Finn stood in as well.
That's one of the most emotional things I've seen now. I'm hearing a lot of things, and a lot of sad occasions and joyous occasions. I thought the applause that little boy got today was extraordinary. And I had the pleasure of meeting his mother before the game, and his wife was sitting right in front of me, and another daughter of Paul's. And I actually met John O'Mahony's wife as well, and had a picture taken with her. John was an absolute gentleman as well. John, when I retired from teaching, there was a function for me in the Castleknock Hotel, and John happened to be either staying there or just passing through, and he saw my name on the board in the hotel, and he actually came up to the room, and he spent nearly an hour with us. That was the kind of fella he was. He was a lovely, lovely man, yeah. So, you know, it's sad for people like him. But there's a lot more people in Mayo who are still alive, and they celebrate it today.
They will. And it is their day. And just when we talk about, you know, John O'Mahony and Paul Clancy there, and, you know, another Monaghan great, and Stephen Gallagher, who very sadly lost his life this week, and you would have let the stadium know beforehand, and that's your job. But a couple of weeks back, Gerry, you had to let the stadium know about a good friend of yours, the great Mick Leddy, who was the chief steward here for a long time, who passed away. And that was tough as well to have to do.
That was the hardest thing I've ever done in the stadium, and I've had a lot of the RIPs for people, you know, for stadium people. They're always the hardest, obviously the personal ones. I would have done an awful, Mihala Murahartig, you know, he was a personal friend of mine as well, but nothing was as hard as Mick Leddy, because Mick was he was a friend of mine, personal friend for 40-45 years. We worked together. He was the nicest boss you could ever have. Even everything we said about him on the day was true. He was a gentleman, he was caring, he was kind, he was considerate. He was your ideal stadium chief steward. He understood people when there were problems, as there would be with a big staff of stewards. He sorted things out quietly and with dignity and with respect. And he's a massive loss, and there was a lot of sadness around today that he wasn't. Jarlath Burns last week, we start the day with a mass here in the stadium every All-Ireland Day, and Jarlath speaks, whatever president is Jarlath obviously at the moment, he speaks to the gathering there, the people who are in early for duties, and he said lovely words about Mick, and he said it to the full gathering of stewards then when they were briefed before the hurling final. So he's a massive loss, and you know, you move on, but he made a contribution. But there's a lot of joy in Croke Park, but there's a lot of sadness too.
There is, Gerry, and I just thought you paid a beautiful tribute to him that day, and I knew maybe other people didn't quite know from the outside how personal a thing it was, but anyone, but well done, Gerry, and your voice means an awful lot to people, so I can't wait to hear you next time. But like, it's going to ring through Mayo people's ears when they watch back today, you know.
Well, I met a lot of them up for the match last night, and I got a lot of compliments from them, and they were amazed to actually see me, because they didn't know what I looked like. They knew the voice, it's recognisable obviously, but they were so kind and considerate, and they're lovely people, and as I said, I'm so happy for them.
Gerry, always love saying hello to you when I come in, and I don't know if you noticed, but I always wish you luck, but you don't need luck.
I do need luck, everyone needs luck, and I haven't given up in the kingdom yet. We'll be back. I'm a bit sorry for Jack, because Jack is a neighbour of mine from South Kerry, and I have a lot of admiration for him, because he takes dog's abuse as well, and he'll start now again. He was a hero last year, and that's all part of it, but the 40th will come, and I hope I'll be still here.
Well, the great Gerry Grogan, thank you so much for your time, and lovely to catch you for a couple of minutes. Thank you.
A pleasure, thank you very much. Go on, Margaret.
It's 10 to 10 and I'm on level 7. I'm looking out at Croke Park and it's empty, apart from John Fogarty and Morris Brosnan above us, and Frank Roach has joined me for a couple of minutes. I wanted to catch him on a few little bits. Frank, I think we're going to end this radio diary of an All-Ireland final with this chat. Mayo are after ending 75 years of hurt. How on earth did they do that?
They did it by bringing a level of intensity and hunger like I don't think I've ever seen in an All-Ireland final. It was incredible what they produced. And it wasn't all that. They played the game really, really smart. But to see this team's level of progress from April 26th against Roscommon, and even beyond that, I was up in Clonus And I know Andy has referenced it several times. He couldn't believe the, you know, a lot of flack coming out of that performance. But like in that second half, they were creaking. There were multiple goal chances conceded. You move on from there. They actually played better, probably in defeat to Tyrone. First 25 minutes against Meath, again at home in Castlebar, and you're looking at a team that looked like they're going to limp out of the championship. And how they have improved step by step from that Saturday evening in, what was it, middle of June, I think,
to today.
To today has been incredible. But it has been step by step. They've got better and better and better.
But today they did not wilt. Today against Kerry, a team going for number 40 and back-to-back All-Irelands, after they get the first 15 minutes out of the way, they grew into it and they produced a phenomenal performance. But they seemed to have the legs on Kerry, but also the game plan seemed to... It was risky, the high press game plan, but it paid off, Frank.
The high press was risky, but I think it was maybe the only way they were going to beat Kerry. They had to knock them out of their comfort zone, because even watching... They did, and kind of watching Kerry in the previous two matches, I thought especially against Dublin, they looked like a team who were just trying to control the game, control the lead as they had it for most part. But there was a lack of real energy about them. And it was funny, like after Mayo had beaten Hammered Loud on the Saturday, I came out here thinking, Jesus, fair play to them, but I still didn't think they were going to win All Ireland. But the following, you know, 24 hours later, leaving here after watching Kerry against Dublin, I had a small bit more of a suspicion that Mayo could beat them. You know what I mean? I was less convinced by Kerry before they played Dublin than after. And I thought that manifested itself out there, definitely.
Have you covered every All-Ireland final defeat that Mayo have been at? Have you been at every one of them? You mentioned it to me earlier on. Have you been at everything from 89 up to 21?
I've been at every one.
That's remarkable.
I haven't quite covered every one.
I know, but you've got a strong Mayo connections, right?
My mam, who's 89, I haven't got to talk to her since. God knows what she's thinking of this. But she's from Mayo. My two in-laws are from Mayo, and I have to now in the next short while go find my father-in-law and hope that he's in a compass bend.
He's been waiting long enough, Frank,
and like I think he's been at every All-Ireland in that period bar 2020, and that's why I think I'm among a pretty select group of people who've been at every All-Ireland final since 89. The bizarre thing was back in 89, I was a very young cub reporter working in the Westmead Independent, but I'd seen a lot of the Mayo matches that summer, and had Mary Abb been working at two of the Connacht finals covering Roscommon from a Westmead angle. And then Offaly got to the All-Ireland minor final, so I says, here's my chance, because otherwise I wasn't going to get a ticket. So I actually was in the old press box here in the old Hogan stand and got to see the final. I wasn't working in 96 and 97, but I was in the Cusack stand for the draw and replay and then the 97 game. And for every All-Ireland since 04 on, I've been working at them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like today?
I don't think I have.
Yeah.
I mean, like I was here like seeing Armagh win their first All-Ireland in 2002 and Tyrone the following year. Limerick here in 2018 was the only recent one that comes close
in terms of the drought and the pain maybe and all of that.
I just think today was on another level, and to do it the way they did it, they were 7 points down on Kerry,
1-5-1 after 15,
and like they were in the game, but they'd missed 4 2-point attempts in those opening exchanges, and you were there thinking, God, is this the thing to be trying going into the hill? And three of those shots didn't go dead, and you know Kerry were going back down the field and getting scores. Lo and behold, the ball comes out to Jack Kearney, who's been ailing two-pointers all summer, and he did it again. That's and from fast. That moment on,
yeah,
that kick-started them. And we were talking to Jack down below, and he said the same thing at the Mayo press night, how he had the trust of management and players to keep taking those shots even if he missed the first one. And he had earned that trust on the training field. Now, he hadn't missed one early on. That was his first attempt, and he got it. But that kind of willingness to go for it kind of summed up Andy Moran's Mayo.
Unburdened. You better go find your father-in-law. But just one last word before we go, because we actually bid farewell to a colleague of ours in the press box today, the great Sean Moran, who's retired after 32 years, is finishing up. Was it his final All-Ireland final?
This is last All-Ireland, last day at work, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he's working tomorrow, as they say. Sean has just been a fantastic colleague. Like, I really probably got to know Sean from 1998 onwards. I had been sub-editing with the Indo for a few years, and then I became the J correspondent for the Evening Herald, as it was then called, from 98 on, and that was the maddest summer ever. Some of the craziest hurling stories we've ever seen. And Galway won a first breakthrough All-Ireland that year. But I really got to know Sean. I kind of knew him before then, but I really got to know him from then on. And he's been an absolutely fantastic colleague, one of the most erudite men in our profession, if we can call it a profession. And he will be sadly missed, but I'm sure we'll bump into him more than once in the coming years.
I think they always manage to get a press pass for a couple of more years, don't they?
For the big days.
Definitely. Well, I'm planning to meet him maybe for an odd pint as well, like, all going well.
That's good, Frank. Sean Moran, well done on an incredible career with the Irish Times and Mayo. Congratulations. 75 years. Frank Roach, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tommy.
So there you have it. A quite historic day in Croke Park, as Mayo were crowned 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Champions. Who'd have thought it back on the 13th of August 2025 when Andy Moran was ratified as the new manager of the Mayo Senior Football Team? Maybe Andy did back then. He probably did. We'll have so much more coverage of Mayo's celebrations and the story behind this All-Ireland title across Off the Ball over the coming days and weeks and months. Because to be honest, the story only starts here. I hope you've enjoyed this radio diary of an All-Ireland football final. We did something very similar for Limerick's All-Ireland win the week beforehand. And we'll chat to you very soon across the football pod and off the ball. Congrats to Mayo, 2026 All-Ireland Senior Football Champions.